Sunday of the decade. Good God Almighty. Oh, Lord. Last Sunday of the decade. 2020. Clear vision. A clear time. Moving forward in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you. We honor you. We bless your holy name. For there is none like you, nor will there ever be. Things must change. Hallelujah. And I believe that. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Everything has to change. Everything has to change. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Hallelujah. They fixed the clock. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Thank you for that. For those of you all in the DJ booth, Sister Alicia and Deacon Penn, and I didn't mistake when I said that. Thank you for your faithfulness, as always, as always. Once again, we'd like to welcome you to the sanctuary this morning, and we are in our last Sunday of the decade, last Sunday of the year. I'm looking forward to 2020. You'll see me buzzing around a lot more. Blogs, a lot more encouragement coming into our DTCC family group. Expecting more from each and every one of you as we move forward into this new decade that we're in. The thing that kind of hit me as I was writing that monologue, if you will, is that I started ministry when I was in my early 30s, and in the next decade, God willing, if God says so, I'll be in my mid-50s. Lord, have mercy. That don't even sound right, but here we are. As we move forward to the glory of God. Just a couple of announcements and then I'm going to get out of your way for this morning. First of all, Faith Food and Fellowship is canceled along with service, Wednesday night service for next Wednesday. Once again, enjoy spending time with your family and friends for New Year's Day. But I do have one request that I want to make for you just to kind of give you some ideas as far as how you can serve more and how you can invite more. Maybe on your Facebook page, consider this. Anyone need a ride to church? Just put that on your Facebook wall and see what happens. You never know what can happen, right? Right. If you never ask, then people may not say anything. But just put that on your wall going into the new year. Anybody need a ride? And that's just not for Deacon Penn to come and pick you up. I'm talking about you actually bringing somebody with you in your car. Amen. Very important for us to be able to do that because we want people to know that there are still some churches out there that preach the love of Jesus, that show that love soundly, that are still effective in their community. But we need numbers and we need people to be able to come in on one accord so they can advance the kingdom of God in this earth realm. So while there's a break for these past two Sundays, I'm really looking forward to leap year, us to leap into the things that God has for us, not to get into the cliches of things with 2020 vision, because I promise you, just like some of our Facebook posts, if nothing doesn't change with the way that you see the world, the same way that you saw the world in 2019, it will repeat itself in 2020. If you are not trying to change, if you're going to go through the same things, have the same type of negative attitude, woe is me, I can't do it. No, no, no. With Christ, all things are possible. So I have a challenge for you. Let's have a no complaint challenge. Amen. No negativity challenge. Yes. Are you up for it? Yes. It's going to be hard for some of y'all because some of you, oh my goodness. I have to unfollow you because it's so depressing when I look and see your stuff. I'm like, is God even in your life at all? No, 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 no. You have to, even myself, I'm starting my daily devotionals once again every single morning. The first thing that God said, even through the writing of this particular book, is anxiety. And anxiety is not of God, it is the devil. It is of the devil. It is something that is by choice, and you have to choose not to fear. Fear things that are not in your control. You have to let those things go so that God can truly use you for his glory. Upcoming also Saturday, January the 4th, ladies, you are welcome to join Divine Design Women's Ministry as they kick off the new year with great fellowship, goal setting, and light snacks. Again, hashtag anyone needs a ride? Do you need a ride? Our personalities should not override the call of God in regards to preaching the gospel to every creature and inviting someone. Amen. We don't have that much going on. You need a ride? I don't want people in my car. What in the world? What in the world? Remember, you get rewards in heaven for bringing souls to Christ. So souls are more important than your personality. Anyone need a ride? Hashtag anyone. No one responds? Fine. You just keep on asking. Keep on serving. Keep on loving. You never know that that's the spark that will kick things off. Embracing 2020 vision board. I have a vision, too, that you'll ask somebody to get in the car with you. And that particular vision board will be held here at DTCC. Sister Akile Hughes is the person who is the point of contact for that. So if you need more information, see her about it and tell your friends and family about it as well. Try to invite someone that is unchurched. Don't be afraid of people who are unchurched. Those are the primary candidates that we are looking for. Our family members that have not been to church in eons, those are the ones that you need to invite. Those are the ones that you need to bring with you. Not the ones who already have church homes and things of that nature. Because one of the things that can really thwart the call of God on pastoral leadership is trying to pastor people that belong in other flocks. Amen. Amen. That will burn me out because they have no intention of coming. So let's go after the heathens, right? Let's go after the ones that be like, I ain't setting foot in no church because all of them the same. Well, how about coming to my church? It's a little bit different. Yes, the ones who cussing, fussing, fighting, the ratchet ones, those are the ones that we want into the house of the Lord, because such were some of you. Some of us are still there too, actually. Shade intended. January 5th. 2020 begins our 21 days of fasting and prayer. We will meet in the sanctuary for prayer each night at 7 p.m. It is going to be a sacrificial time. Those of you that are leaders, a part of the clergy, make your way to the house of the Lord as much as possible. Also, Saturday, January the 11th, this is something that is optional, but we're going to see how many people actually sign up for it. Sounds good, but I need there to be participation. DTCC Men will travel to Engage 2020 Men's Workshop at Truth Revealed Ministries in Palm Bay, Florida. Registration is $30 and includes breakfast, lunch, and transportation. This is on January the 11th, so we need all monies to be turned in by Saturday of next week. Saturday of next week. That'll give you an extended period of time in order for things to get done. Next Saturday is not the 11th, is it? Is it? Okay, the Saturday after that. All right, I have to get my dates right. So the Saturday, which is coming up, we're going to travel down to Palm Bay. I've been there before. Some of the brothers, Elder Winsley, has been down there before. So men, if you want to get charged, if you want to hear another voice besides mine, I'm all for it. Let's go and let's all listen together. Let's bring that brother. Let's bring that brother that has a bunch of questions about things. And let's all go down to Palm Bay and let's sit up under Bishop Merton Clark, which is one of the presbyters for the Covenant Fellowship International, of which I am a member of. And I am under the tutelage of Bishop Vaughn Monroe McLaughlin. And that's one of his presbyters, or one of his, I call it, henchmen in the gospel, if you will. He has a powerful, very, very potent, very strong men's ministry. And so once again, if you want clarity going into the new year to start off things right and to keep things right, meet with me on that particular day. We will all go down there. We need at least five men and brothers that are paid so that it will be a go. All right. Two is not going to be enough. All right. That also bring your sons as well. So the costs will also include them. They will not be free. So if you have sons and you want to carry them on down there, make sure that you also do that as well. The actual topics will be this: overcoming resistance. In other words, how do you get past that wall in your mind and in life? Also, moving beyond curiosity, engaging and serving as well. And then finally, Truth Learning Academy is continuing its enrollment and growing weekly. Be sure to spread the word to your friends, family, and coworkers of what we're actually going to be doing today. Can you put up the graphic for Truth Learning Academy up on the wall, please, ma'am? Thank you so much. And so we have one of the things that we try to do when it comes to this is that our daycare has been in existence for almost a year now. Actually, it's been 1 year completely, right? Right. Huh? Almost a year. Almost a year. We got a little bit more to go. So Truth Learning Academy will be ending up on its 1 year anniversary. We were just I just remember us struggling with getting the fire alarms and all that money we had to pour into this place, tens of thousands of dollars to make sure everything is up to code. But now our population is growing. We still have space for your children. We want to make sure that this is a place where people can actually grow and go. And then finally, the family room, which is right across the hall, is available so that parents can tend to their children and still enjoy the service. If you want a tour of the actual daycare, just look around the building. A Lady Martin, who is the director of the daycare, will help you along with that. Not only that, we are hiring for lead teachers. If you are a person that has your 45 DCF hours, these are things that they told me that I don't know about, but they know about. Or you're working towards those specific things and you're reliable, you have good transportation, and you love children, not tolerate children, love children, then this will be the place for you. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Amen. We're going into a new season, going into a new time. God always will provide. And speaking of provision, let's go ahead and get our seeds in our hand on this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. For those of you that are watching online, God bless you. God keep you as we move forward in the things of God. Amen. Amen. There's four ways to give. The first way is online through our website at www.divinetruthcc.org. The second way is through our kiosks, which are in on my right, your left. You can give with your card at that moment in time in order to sow seeds so that we can continue on the mission of the ministry. Also, envelopes are important as well. Sister Yolanda has those envelopes, and Brother Jose will have some envelopes too. Ha ha, gotcha. He will also help out as well in regards to the ushers on this morning. So if you need one, just raise your hand and they will give one to you. And then also, finally, Cash App. Cash App. Now, here's the thing. Cash App does not go into my pocket. Of course, y'all know that. I know I don't need, have to tell you that. But let me verify that that is not what happens. It goes straight into the ministry, you all, and to the glory of God. So make sure that you use the Cash App tag. Some of you all have already done that. Continue to do so. And watch this. Reach out to that family member. They may not come, but that does not mean that they won't sow a seed. If you have a job and God has blessed you, and you prayed and cried, and God has given you a breakthrough, and you get a paycheck, sow a seed. Sow a seed that is equivalent to 10% of your income. The other 90%, God, guess what? You got it. But don't give zero. Love us more than that. Serve more than that. Remember, as I said, aside of the group, give more, serve more, love more, invite more. Give more, love more, serve more, invite more. You have to do it because that is the only way we will grow. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your peace that surpasses all human understanding. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for this upcoming and this blessed new year. I pray for increase. I pray for financial growth. I pray, Lord God, for souls to be saved. I pray, Lord God, that our people will stretch beyond their normal capacity and just allow for God to use them like never before in this new season, in this new decade, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for times past and for the situations and circumstances that have happened over the last 9.5 years, Lord God. And give us strength and wisdom and clarity as we move into this new season where you want our dreams and visions to be realized according to your word, according to your way, by faith. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Let's give to the glory of God. Amen. 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 Well, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. I'm looking for great things to happen ahead. I'm looking for people to rededicate themselves to the things of God and to shake off the malaise, the spiritual malaise, to get out of our feelings and to really, truly get into the faith. Faith that really can move mountains, the faith that may be the size of a mustard seed, but we want it to be a full-grown man or woman next year. Amen. 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 Without further ado, I want to go ahead and get out of the way for Elder Al Winsley. He will be your speaker for this particular morning, and then I will be back in the saddle in the new year as we move forward. Amen. So, brother, come on up. He got his own tablet, too. I wonder where he got that from. I don't know. Is it an Android? It's Android. All right. I won't hit him as far as that because, you know. You know what I'm saying. I like Android and Apple. I like both of them as well. So once again, make sure, people of God, that when it comes to the upcoming year, let's give more. Let's serve more. Even when it comes to my teens, just think about this. In 10 years, some of y'all will have children. Lord have mercy. Andre will be 25 years old in 10 years. I'll be a grandfather. Some of y'all will be grandparents. Lord, Father, help us. Yeah, you saying that now. 24, 25 years old, 23 years old, all of them will be grown, graduated from college in 10 years. What will the decade look like? So even those of you that are getting older right now, bring some of your classmates with you, let them see. Because you are tomorrow's leaders. You are the future for tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Without further ado, Elder Al Winsley.
Thank you. Just so you know, the Apple logo is a bitten apple. I mean, just want to let y'all know that. So Android is the way to go. Anyway, good evening. I would like to thank everyone for coming out again on this last Sunday of the year. We made it. Yes. We made it. I hope everyone had a great Christmas, a marvelificent Christmas. I hope you ate good. We ate good at my house. I know we ate neck bones and potatoes. Neck bones and potatoes. Shana. We kind of strayed away from the tradition of things. And if you still got turkey and macaroni in your fridge, it's about time to let it go. It's getting a little old now, a little hard now. I know you want to stretch that thing out, but we got to let it go. So this morning, I want to revisit, if you will, some simple concepts that I'm sure that Pastor has preached in the past, but I want to bring them back up to the surface and bring them back fresh on our minds. I know that a couple weeks ago that he mentioned that he was going to start a series, I think, about being the church and what it means to be the church. And so, like a lot of movies out there, you know, sometimes you have the movie, you have the character, and then the sequel is actually the history of the first movie. So I kind of want to back up just a little bit of what it means to be the church and being the church. I actually want to talk about this morning of what the church is. What is the church? What is church? So I want to revisit this. It's going to be a very simple and practical teaching today. If you want to take notes, you can. I know Mr. London likes to take notes, so I'm going to make this clear as I can so that we can truly understand our identity in Christ, truly understand what it means to be the church and what is the church. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start off in Matthew 16, a very, very, very familiar passage. This is Jesus. He's talking to his disciples, asking them, who do people say that he is? Matthew 16, 13. I'm sorry, did I say the verse? I didn't say the verse. 16, 13. If you haven't, say amen. So now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, son, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who was in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, upon that statement that you just made, I will build my church. I want you to underline that word, my. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, death, and the grave shall not overpower it, shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another day to come together corporately and praise and worship your name. Father, I pray that you open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds as we dig deeper to learn more about what you have for us so that we can take hold of it and spread it to the nation. I pray that the words you have for us falls on good soil, that it may bloom into magnificent fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you. So once again, the church. What is the church? What is the mission? The mission of the church. I would like to title this message, Mission Possible. Mission Possible. Hey, Mission Possible. Yeah, I know the movie. So what's the mission of the church and why we exist? I know a lot of people have been throwing that term around, both believers and unbelievers of the church and what it's supposed to be. And the thing is, knowing what the church is that begins with understanding our kingdom assignment. That's another word that gets thrown around a lot also, is the word kingdom. I know a lot of us don't wrap our head around what kingdom is, what a kingdom is, because we were born into a democracy. We were born with a president. We can vote him in, we can vote him out. It's supposed to be a nation of the people. But a kingdom has a king. And the king makes the rules. He rules the land. Whatever you own, he owns. So in a kingdom, whatever the king says goes. There are no votes. He doesn't pass things through Congress to get it signed on or to get it signed off. Whatever he says, puts the stamps on it, and he pushes it out to his kingdom. So we must first understand what a kingdom is. So a few points I want to go over to lay the foundation for this morning. Once again, it's going to be very, very practical and very understandable. So a few points. Point number one is God's original purpose and plan was to extend his kingdom here to earth. You got that? God's original purpose and original plan was to extend his heavenly kingdom to a physical earth. That was the plan. if you didn't fall asleep in history class like I used to in high school, that's kind of like the kingdom of England or the kingdom of Great Britain, and how they said, okay, we want to extend our land that isn't physically attached to us. So we're going to send some boats over to America, and we're going to colonize this land. We call it the 13 colonies, I believe. And what Great Britain did is they extended their kingdom to another land and called it Great Britain. So that's similar to what God's plan was and is to do, is to extend his earthly kingdom onto earth, his heavenly kingdom onto earth. Point number two, God's intent was to create a family of children to accomplish this for him. God's intent was to create a family, call it man, to accomplish this for him. Point number three, am I going too fast? Let me slow down. Point number three, God's strategy was to fill that family of children with the Holy Spirit so that they could stay connected to him. So he wanted to bring his kingdom here. He created man to extend and go forth with a mission. And he wanted the Holy Spirit to stay connected to man. So the Holy Spirit is the key of staying connected to the kingdom. I just seen that graphic. That's clever. So Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him dominate, let him subdue, let him manage what I gave him. Let him have dominion over the earth. So that was his command. Adam, all of this is yours. Dominate it, subdue it, manage it, replenish the earth. So when Adam fell, the fall was from dominion over the earth. So when he fell, he lost dominion over the earth. So in a sense, if you remember in class that when the colonies were like, okay, we're ready to be our own kingdom, our own entity, we're going to declare independence from you. So I know that there was wars and things like that, but eventually we declared our independence from Great Britain. So now we are on our own. That's essentially what Adam did. Adam said, okay, I'm ready to do this thing by myself. He didn't say it, but he said it. I don't need the backing of the kingdom anymore. I'm going to declare independence from the kingdom. So when he disobeyed God and declared independence from the kingdom, the Holy Spirit left the spirit of man. So heaven was no longer connected to earth by the Holy Spirit, which is the key. Point number four. The purpose of God's redemption plan was to restore man back to where he fell from. That's it. That's it. Hashtag that's it. Restore man back to where he fell from. So Jesus came to reintroduce the Holy Spirit, the key. So church is a product of the fall. Church is a product of the fall. Before Adam fell, there was no need for church as we know it. there was no need for church as we know it. There was church before the fall, but not church as we know it. God created church when he created Adam, but not the church that we know. The church that we know. So what is church anyway? What's the church? Well, the church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia. It has nothing to do with a building. It has nothing to do with choirs and singing and dancing and huckbucking. And it was also a word not invented by Jesus. Y'all know that? It was not invented by Jesus. I'm going to show you later how. And ecclesia or church was a political word. It was a political word. When Jesus came back on the scene during the time when the Romans were in charge, the Romans had conquered the Greeks. And it's a history lesson for that they don't know. But the Romans had conquered the Greeks, and the Greek people were great thinkers. We studied Socrates and Plato and all of these great thinkers that were from Greek. So the Romans conquered them, and they adopted their philosophies. They were already a strong people. They were already a mighty people. But now, in so conquering the Greeks, who were thinkers and had great minds, they were the most powerful empire that this world has ever known, ever. They controlled everything. And a part of the Greek philosophy was the word ekklesia. Plato and Socrates studied the human government. So, a part of the Greek philosophy was the ekklesia, and it's described as a group of people that was selected by the king and responsible for executing the mind, the desires, and his commands throughout the kingdom. That was the ekklesia. So whatever the king was thinking, his desires, his commands, the ecclesia was responsible for getting that out to the people, to the entire empire. So that group, called the ecclesia, we translate as church, was in a sense a political agency, not a worship group. So when Adam fell, the church was cut off. Church was cut off. But God made a promise. I'm going to redeem you. He said that. Adam said, I want to declare my independence. I don't need the backing of the kingdom anymore. God said, okay, you disobeyed me. I'm going to knock you out of my presence. But I'm going to redeem you later on. So the question is, or at least the question that I had is, why did it take him so long to send the Redeemer? It took him a long time. Why did Jesus come when he did? He didn't come during the time of Noah or the Egyptians or the Babylonian rule. And if we were to time the years or have an estimate, Adam fell about 6,000, 7,000 years ago. That's when he fell. Genesis 3. That's when God made the promise. Genesis, all the way back in the beginning. He said, I'm going to redeem you at the beginning. So the time from the fall to the time to when he came was about 4,000 years. 4,000 years. It took him to send the Redeemer. So during this time, once again, the Romans were in charge. And they controlled everything and everybody. They were the builder of roads, as many people call them. They built roads from Italy all the way up to England, to Africa. And they conquered everybody. They made everybody speak their language. They made everybody do what they wanted to do. they were the big empire on the block. So this government already had in place something similar to what the kingdom is. Similar. Already had the ecclesia. So when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't have to reintroduce, you know, new philosophies or new ways of thinking or new words, because they were already present. So all he had to do was learn what they were already knew so that he could communicate clearly his mission to the men that follow him. So in the fullness of time, somebody say, in the fullness of time. I've always wanted to do that. In the fullness of time, everything had to be right. Everything had to be perfect in order for Jesus to come and do what he did and carry it out magnificently. I know it's not a word, but that's how I'll say it. So in the fullness of time, when everything was right, everything was in order for him to come, God said, okay, now I'm going to send him. Now that people will understand what I'm trying to get across to them. I'm not going to make up words that they don't understand. I don't have to draw pictures on the cave wall. They have a language now, a unified language. Everybody spoke Latin. So he didn't have to make up words like Lord. There was a Lord already, a ruler, a king. Verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock, or boulder, I will build my church. The word my, he said my church. I will build my church, not the church. There was already an ecclesia. Roman had an ecclesia already. Roman had church. So he said, specifically, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In other words, I'm going to establish my group of people to execute my mind, to execute my desires, my will throughout the earth. That's my church. That's what I'm going to do. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Death will not stop the advancement of the kingdom. So the more we die in Christ, the more we grow. The more we are oppressed, the more we grow. God will always have his group of people to execute his mission, even so when we leave. Even so when we're gone, he will have his people preaching the gospel until he comes. So that's why it's kind of important that we don't get caught up in, you know, personalities. Because they have a mission, they're going to do it, and they're going to leave. We all have a mission. We all have talents. We all have things to fulfill before we leave. Amen? So God wants his ecclesia back. He wants his church back. And it's all about intimacy with the king. It's all about intimacy with the king. So God created Adam, and everybody was in Adam. When God created Adam, he created everybody, because everybody was in Adam. That's where we all come from. And he said, have dominion over the earth, have dominion over the fish, over the fowls, rule it, manage it, this is yours. So Adam is the church. He gave him the mission. This is what I'm thinking. I want you to do it. I want you to execute it. So the church was supposed to execute the plan. So pre-fall church, everything was in alignment. Everything was good. There was no sickness. There was no death. Adam, there was no death. Death had no power yet. Adam could dwell in the presence of God. He was walking in the coolness of the day with God himself. Pre-fall church. Then Adam fell. He declared his independence. Rebellion crept in. And God has seen this movie before with rebellion at the beginning of the age with his chief, I like to call him art director, the king of the arts, the worship leader, Lucifer. God seen this before. Rebellion creeped in. Pride creeped in. And he shot him down. So God has seen this before. So he declared his independence, Adam. No more relationship. He said, I could do this myself. In a sense, he didn't say it, but he said it. No more backing from the kingdom. And the thing about having backing from the kingdom is the territories around you are able to overpower you now because you don't have the backing of the kingdom. When you have the kingdom at your disposal, you have their army, their power, and their influence. So he said, I'm good. I can do this myself. So here's the problem. You cannot represent a kingdom if you have no relationship with the king. You cannot represent a kingdom if you have no relationship with the king. Me and my wife started watching a show this weekend called The Chosen. You want to see one episode? It costs $30 to get the rest of the episodes. But I'm going to get them today. The Chosen. It's a very unique view into the life of Jesus because the view is looking at it from the people he encountered rather than looking at it through the eyes of Jesus. It's looking at it through the eyes of the people he encountered. So the first episode, the great Nicodemus, as they called him, in one scene, he was called and he was tasked to stop this woman from making all this noise and racket. They say that she was demon-possessed. So they called on Nicodemus, the great the great teacher, and Nicodemus said, okay, I'm going to do it. So he told his pupils, okay, give me wormwood, give me some fire, give me this, give me that. I'm going to cast this demon out. So he had his smoke burning. He walked into the room, shaking. She was screaming, knocking over chairs. And Nicodemus, he was, demon, come out. I command you, come out. And he got quiet for a second. And he was standing there. And the woman that was demon-possessed, she came up out the shadows. She looked him dead in the eye. He said, with four voices at the same time, you have no power here. So Nicodemus, oh no. He ran up out of there. So he was trying to represent a kingdom that he had no relationship with. And that's going on a lot, especially in today's time. Especially Matthew 15:8, real quick. That's going on a lot. It says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They prophesy in my name. Jesus said this. Jesus said that. No, what I said is in the Bible. You are preaching about me, but I don't hear from you ever. The communication line is collecting dust. But you're preaching about me. God said, the hearts are far from me. So what caused the fall? Moving on. What caused the fall? Sin. Y'all can say it. Sin. And what sin? Rebellion against God. So we try our best to stop sinning. God, please help me stop this. I'm trying, Lord. Please help me stop sinning. And Paul said it best. I try to do good. When I try to do good, I can't. I try. Who will deliver me from this body of death? God said, you. Paul was like, man, this is hard. Who will deliver me? But you know what I found out about sin? That it takes time. It takes time to sin. It takes time to put your clothes on and spray your cologne, perfume, and go over to that non-spouse's house at 1 a.m. in the morning. It takes time and gas. It takes time. It takes time to drive across town to ABC. If you know what that is, that's Wine and Spirits. Wine and Spirits. That's a store full of, it's a massive liquor store. That's what it is. It takes time. It takes time to sin. The Bible says idleness creates corruption. So, what can we do to combat it? Fill our time with something else, with studying the mind of God, studying the mission of God, studying what He said for me to do, studying my purpose. What am I supposed to do, God? Filling our time with something else. You want a good resolution for next year? Want to make a come up, take over the world? Plug into a source that already has what you need. That's a great resolution. Plug into a source that already has what you need. The kingdom has power to overcome any and all circumstances. Any and all circumstances. That's the power of the kingdom. So he didn't say seek the kingdom of God first for no reason. Plug into a source that already has what you need. So the purpose and goal of God's redemption plan is to restore man back to God's original plan. It's not very complicated. We see it in the prayer when the disciples were like, okay, Jesus, how do we pray? Jesus was like, okay, pray our Father who art in heaven. Okay. Hallowed be thy name. We worship and praise you. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he said. That's how you pray. That the will of God, the mission of God, that the kingdom is here on earth. So the most important thing for the ecclesia, I like saying that word, the most important thing for the church is relationship with the king. That is our top priority. Number one, uno. Doesn't matter how we look, how we dress, how many conferences we go to, how we dance, how we sing, how we preach, how we teach. I know Pastor mentioned that the number one thing that we want to do is pray more. Pray more. Get in tune with the mind of God. Everything will be better. Your stress level will... It won't go. It'll go. It'll die down a little bit. Your circumstances will be just circumstances. Okay. Well, We're going to get through this with God. That's the most important thing. That's the top priority. Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassador. So the mission is to represent heaven on earth. To bring the mind of God to your work. To bring the mind of God to your marriage. To bring the mind of God everywhere. We are to represent the kingdom, and the only way to represent that kingdom is if we are connected to the kingdom and if we communicate with the king daily. So the Great Commission is another buzzword. The mission cooperatively is the act of granting certain powers or the authority to carry out a particular task or duty. That's the mission. God said, you got a mission, so everybody do it. It's the commission. Luke 4:43, then I'm out of here. Luke 4:43. I'm going to show you what Jesus said his mission was. Luke 4:43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. That's why I'm here, to preach to everybody. To preach what? The good news. The gospel. That's why I came to earth. Preach the good news. What's the good news? Redemption. The blood. Yes, I'm going to heal people. Yes, I'm going to raise the dead. But I came to spread the gospel. That's my mission. That is the mission, to spread the gospel. So the devil's greatest weapon against you in us is to preoccupy us with things so we never do the right thing. That's his greatest weapon. So the church in large is actually seen as a big social club. I see it almost everywhere, online, everywhere. If that's what it's singing as, a big social club. Social. How can I put this? Social is not our mission. Kingdom is our mission. Put it like this. The mission is the root. Service is the fruit. How about that? It kind of rhymes. The mission is the root. Service is the fruit. So we can feed poor people until we die and still not fulfill our mission. Christ didn't come to service the world. He came to change it. The church should be training for reigning. That's the mission. There has to be come a point where we stop giving out fish and start learning how to teach them how to catch nets. Kingdom. Mission is the root. Service is the fruit. God said, I will make you fishers of men. It's okay for us to do all of these things. But what about bringing them into the kingdom. We must ask, okay, I see that you are here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you food. I'm going to give you sustenance. But why are you here? How did you get in this predicament? And how can I help? Service is the fruit. So the mission of the church: bring God's heavenly kingdom here to earth. That's what we are tasked to do. God has given us talents and abilities to carry out this task. Everybody in here has a talent. Everybody has a talent. Are you using that talent to glorify God? Is the question. That is the question. Are you using your God-given ability for what it's supposed to be used for? Now, God said that He's not going to take it from you. It's yours. But what are you doing with it? I want you to use what I gave you for my glory. You may be a great writer, a magnificent writer, great teacher. But you're writing things like Shades of Gray. I'm not going to tell you what that is. You have to look that up. But God said you have the talent to write things so when people read them, they understand and they are filled with something that they can't quite put their finger on. And then that's where it starts. I know that we have to healing is great. Being set free is great. But a lot of churches out there have put that on a pedestal. They come be set free. Set free from what? First of all, come be healed. Healed from what, first of all? And they never teach about salvation, about the Redeemer, about being saved. So it's an unbalance. It has to be a balance. Whenever Jesus healed someone, He healed them. He set them free what they were being bound by, and He let them go. He said, okay. And He moved on. They didn't come back a week later talking about God healed me from the same thing. So the church, ecclesia, we know what it is. We know the mission. Now we can begin to learn how we are to be it. Amen. I'm done.
I don't know what got into him today. I said, Al, he done got his pastor spirit. He almost got us to 12:15. All right, Al. All right now. God bless you. God keep you. I think that is so important. And that's what I prayed for last year. And I believe my prayer was answered, that we have a healthy church. A healthy church spreads out to healthy members. It pushes out infection. Sometimes you have to prune, but at the end of the day, it's growth, and I truly believe that with all my heart. We didn't get here by accident. 10 years, it will be next year. 10 years, and just to kind of give you as we close, because I'm not going to preach another sermon. You ever gone to churches and after the guest preacher preaches, then the preacher of the church preaches again? There's no need for that. It's unnecessary. But what I want to do is I want to compliment what Elder Winsley has said, and that is we want to be the church. And so the series will continue. Starting the new year, I will be speaking about being the church probably for the first quarter, especially with this little thing that we're struggling with, which is inviting people to come to the house of the Lord with us. I want to teach you how to do that, how to introduce yourself, how to start off with a testimony, how to share the gospel, how to put somebody in your car and bring somebody with you. When you have relatives that come from out of town, bring them with you. Let them know how God has changed your life and not just sit at the house. God was speaking to me as Elder Winsley was talking, and he said, just so loud and clear that for years, the church or the people were leading themselves, and so they were basically without the head, and Christ is the head of the church, right? Right. And so when he came, he became the head of the church, and we're the body of Christ. But now things have flipped around. Now people no longer want to be a part of the body, they just want the head. That's crazy. They don't want to be a part of the body, they just want the head. I just want to have a relationship with God and no one else. It was just as clear as day. I was like, what in the world is this? My people don't want to be in a body. They just want the head only. But the head can't move unless it has the body together. Just like the body can't move unless it has a head. So we can't be individuals just having our personal relationships with God that is so private until no one knows that we are believers. Until we're afraid to invite people to church, to let people know about Jesus Christ. That there is a God and that there is salvation and that there is a church that will teach us things, not a church that will placate us and tickle our fancies and stimulate our cognitive processes and things of that nature, but a church where you can actually grow to the glory of God. That means that sometimes you're going to be encouraged and other times you're going to be called to repentance. Repent! That is the answer to your problems. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Sugar and castor oil, that's our church, a healthy church. Sometimes you get cake, but most of the time you're going to get vegetables because we want you to have a healthy faith, one that's going to last, one that's not going to be shaken by a text message or somebody's acting crazy at the job or at the house. If anything, it should be emboldened. Amen. Amen. So let's not be a church that is just, you know, Or let us influence people enough to tell them, hey, you need to be a part of the body and not just going straight for the head. Amen. Amen. That's all that I have. That's all that I have. See, I only used up 3 minutes. Isn't that good? That's really good. So, Father, thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your people. May they be emboldened to reach out for souls. May they be emboldened to reach out to families that need you, Lord God. May they be emboldened to have the courage to be able to share their testimony of how God has brought them a mighty long way. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, as I repeat, if you ever have trouble inviting somebody to the church, just start off with your story of how God has blessed you and how God has changed your life since you met him. Your starting point. Share with them your testimony. If you don't have a testimony, then I don't know what to tell you. I guess you, don't worry. God will put you in a position where you're going to be tested, so you'll end up with a testimony. But let people know about your testimony. Let people know about your past, where you came from before you met Jesus. And even if you've been with Jesus all your life, of how he has sustained you through some hard times, that's what people need to hear. They don't want to hear, hey, just come to my church.
here is why you want to come to church. And I'm going to be teaching that over and over again so that we won't get comfortable, but then there's no souls being brought into the kingdom. Amen. Amen. That is our assignment for 2020, is to let people know how God has impacted your life so that we could continue to change and not just have attendance going on. Amen. I understand the climate. The climate's rough when it comes to things of God right now. All right. But that does not mean that we can't grow with more health. We have visitors that come in. We're not going to let visitors just sit by themselves. We're going to rally around them and let them know that the body does exist with a head. And that we don't just have a bodiless head only. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done. We're done. Also, going forward, I will be sending out a quick little note to Deacon Lewis, Penn, Minister-elect Jordan, Elder Winsley, Elder Reed, Elder-elect Reed, and also Lady Martin is going to be talking with the women that have that prophetic call. We're going to try to meet more regularly on Sundays, of course, and try to alternate that. So I'm going to have those pastoral meetings, pastoral leadership meetings in my office with those individuals. And then Lady Martin, as she decides, we'll have ladies with the ladies of the ministry, the leaders of this particular ministry, as we move forward, as we position ourselves to be able to start cleaning the fish. That's our job, people of God. We got to do a better job. Start bringing fish into the kingdom. We're not going after other people's church members. Let's stop doing that.